One and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 138, Spotlight on Monkey Brain Comics, Bandit number one. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
I am Murray Fox.
Yes, we had so much fun having creators on last week that we decided to go ahead and do a reading of Bandit number one, a very nice comic that is very suitable for children, as Caleb can attest to, since he, you know, he can tell you about that little experience.
I will.
And so, yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, so after talking with Paul Tobin and Colleen Cooper, I think I can call him Paul and Colleen. I think I've earned that right. I'm kidding. Yeah.
At least while they're not on here, right?
Yes, right. As we were talking, I was corrected that their first collection was actually already out from Dark Horse.
Totally missed that.
And so while we were on the call, I ordered a copy of the hardcover of Bandit Volume 1, Presto, with an exclamation mark.
Presto!
And I've been reading through it with my 7-year-old, who has actually been reading it to me, which has been a ton of fun.
There you go. That's awesome. Can't get any better than that.
One thing I noted as I was reading through the introduction, which, by the way, I miss in these collections lately from Marvel and DC. They don't put any expository stuff at the front, which they used to do that all the time. They'd have one of the creators or somebody who had a special tie to the whole thing do a foreword. And I miss those.
I agree totally. I mean, all the Legion archives have that, and it's, you know, somebody new in each one. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sort of liner notes, but in this one they noted that Bandit is rated 15 and over, and I was shocked to see that. It does not strike me. It strikes me. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's purely all ages, but I don't see anything offensive that I'm reading with a 7-year-old, and so far I have not seen any boobies or F words or F bombs.
Well, I think that would make it a little higher than 15, but
or perhaps it's the, you know, it's the French thing in it. I don't know. I know.
It's all that thievery.
Thievery, maybe that's it. Possibly. You know what? Possibly.
I can't remember. I don't remember anything in the first issue, but I thought by the, I don't know, maybe the third or fourth, there was something that struck me as being, oh, that's why it's, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I can't either.
We're not that far in. We just finished issue two, so so far nothing, mm-hmm. Nothing to jump down. I mean, there's smoking in it. Oh no, but it's adults. It's not kids smoking. And like you said, Chris, there's thievery and all sorts of goodness like that. So who knows? It's very, feels arbitrary. But on the flip side,
I give a crap. Well, then you got stuff, you know, people getting eviscerated on in some of the DC stuff, and they have it, you know, 12. So
yeah.
It is very arbitrary.
Yep. Anyhow, not to take away from that, I'm thoroughly and completely enjoying reading this with my kid. She is absolutely loving it. I wish my older one had gotten into it with us, but that's okay. You know, every once in a while, you know, she and I had the Franklin Richards comic, which we read together.
Oh, that's cool.
So this is Allison and my opportunity.
Oh, Lord.
That's you.
You all right there, man?
Yeah, not quick enough on the mute button. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I'll try not to do the same. I'm having the same issue.
So, in any case, I anybody listening to this who has kids and you feel like buying this, look for it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or, you know, or download the comics if you can read it on your reader with them. I don't have quite the I suppose I could, but it would be not as much fun. There's something about the physical.
Oh, I agree.
As much as
flipping
I
up the pages.
Yeah, the oldest, my oldest nephew enjoyed those accidental double buys I bought, so well, I secretly bought, because it, you know, the 7-year-old isn't quite into that yet, and he tends to tear things up. So I just got him for the older one to encourage his reading, which is, I know that's terrible, but that's just, you know, I already bought everything I've bought book wise for the middle and the old, younger one, either lost or gotten torn up. So I don't get them books. But anyway, I got the Young Justice first 3 volumes of that, and he seems to enjoy that very well. So I don't know if he'd like this Bandette or not. Their father instilled in them a sense that women are inferior that I've been working hard to get out of their heads. So I don't know if they would take to this as well. But anyway, yeah.
I have been watching some episodes of Brave and the Bold, and that will help.
Yeah, we've been watching that. I try to get him to watch that when I can.
All right. So, in any case, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
All right. That's sweet, man. Awesome.
All righty.
All right, we're going to jump into this thing.
Yeah, so we start with this cool cover of Bandette running away from a shadowy gunman. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I love the logo. I think the logo is cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool.
It's very European. I mean, you can almost, it kind of has a an asterisk feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so she's running off, and we open up on a great big mansion. I love the artwork too. How it's I don't know how you describe it. Bandette is all inked in black, what you would expect in a comic book, but then the backgrounds are all not inked in black, inked in.
Almost painted. It's almost painted.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
You're right. She does have a different quality than the rest of the panel.
I like it.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it, I see that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we got this big, beautiful French mansion, and we meet Bandette. She's leaping over a fence, saying, "Presto, keep sleeping doggies, keep sleeping deep." Oh, she's singing. I'm not going to sing. "Keep sleeping doggies, or else I will weep." And we see these big, black, probably Doberman pinchers sleeping under the tree.
It's Zeus and Apollo for Magnum P.I.
Exactly. She carefully opens up a window and starts prowling through a big hallway with lots of busts of famous people, I'm sure, and fancy plants.
Beethoven and...
Yeah. She gets up to the top of the stairs and she meets another doggy. "Hello, cutie. My name is Bandette. Want to come along with me on a robbery?" And of course the dog says, "Ruff." Mm-hmm. Of course he does. "Really, you do? Oh, you naughty dog. You're as bad as a cat. Your master has several drawings by Rembrandt. Very tiny, but wow, the line work, the expressions. You do like Rembrandt, don't you?" And of course the dog says, "Ruff," and wags its tail. It's a cute dog. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. And the dog actually changes almost quality in that first panel. You see him at the top of the stairs. He still has that painted quality, but he's getting sucked into her.
Yeah, bridge. That's true, eh?
Interesting.
Then he gets a darker inking. Yeah. "And how about your master? You like him? He's kind of a bad guy, you know. He sells weapons to some very shady men, underworld organizations, nasty governments. He's a very busy bad man. And so he is thieved. This is called justice. Or larceny. One of the two." And she's, oh, there you go. There's the panel. That's what puts it on.
Yeah, it's like, whoops.
Different glass.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll get to that panel shortly.
That's nothing we haven't seen on an episode.
I'm sure it isn't.
8 o'clock and or younger or earlier. Go ahead. All right.
Earlier. Why? She pulls something. Oh no, she's putting the teeny tiny paintings into this pouch in her cape. Do you like them? Aren't they wonderful? No, don't eat them. They're not biscuits. And the dog goes along as she wanders down the hallway. Your master will be quite surprised to find them missing when he comes home from his trip. I wish I could see his face. Now, where was the way out? Was it over here? And she opens a door and says, oops, because she finds two people right in the middle of some passionate lovemaking.
Yeah, they're not quite into that yet. They've still got clothes on, at least.
Well, I...
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
They're enjoying it, whatever they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Bandit just says, oh, hi. How dare he? He was not supposed to be at home today. Guards.
Like how she calls the guards. That's hilarious.
I think it's coming from inside the door. No, I think it's the...
Is it coming from the door? Oh, I see that now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I like how it's his fault for being home.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she makes a great narrator.
Mm-hmm.
The dog keeps barking. She jumps out the window while some, mafioso guy shoots at her. Bullets, how rude. Were they not beguiled by my adorable outfit, my charming wit? Bad dogs, she shouts, of course, because the dogs are now up and chasing her with big, growly, drooling teeth. But she does a quick flip over the fence, or the wall, I guess. This is the great big stone wall. She just flipped over it. Freedom, hello, my faithful steed. And she hops on her little Vespa and drives down the cobbled road street. Oh, no, no, no. I have not prepared for a chase scene because, of course, the bad guys are chasing her on their motorcycles. And then we go elsewhere, and there's a red phone, and it's ringing. And we get an old man answering the phone. He's probably very old and distinguished.
Yes, clearly old and distinguished.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's cultured. Hello, Corvid's Rare Books and Coins. And someone on the other end says, I need to speak to Monsieur. And he says, I'm afraid I don't know that person. And the person on the end of the line says, I believe you do. My research is quite extensive. And he says, alas, madame, it has failed you in this instance. I cannot help you. Simply, life will go on. And we see the person on the other end talking. She is wearing a slinky red dress, almost like a Catwoman dress, when Catwoman wore dresses.
Yeah,
with cut down to her belly button, probably.
And a Madame Mask issue. I was thinking Madame Mask, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Of course it will, and I will find someone else to steal the 1794 American flowing hair dollar coin. And that, of course, catches this guy's attention. Because he says, did you say the flowing hair dollar, 1794? And she agrees that that's what she said, and she happens to know the same collection holds a first edition of the Scarecrow of Oz, which would be part of Monsieur's payment for this pilfering. And he says, that's an interesting book, but hardly enough to draw in someone like Monsieur. And she says, perhaps not, but what if I were to add that it was originally the possession of H.P. Lovecraft, and that he made extensive notes for his Cthulhu mythos in the margins. What? How can you do that to a Wizard of Oz book? That's terrible.
Yeah, that is, man. That's just wrong.
It is.
Real quick, side note. My daughter even knew who H.P. Lovecraft was, so that was...
Really?
I'm doing something right.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And while this old man, who is Monsieur, is pondering the... pondering whether he'll take this case or not. A dude pops in and says, bonjour, Monsieur Corvid, I have your lunch order. Pad Thai and jasmine tea.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Monsieur says, perfect timing. I'm famished. Keep the change, Daniel. Thank you, Mr. Corvid. Very kind of you. I love that the name of his outfit is called Rad Thai.
Yep.
So he's drinking his... jasmine tea, and he's staring at the phone, and then he picks it up and he says, this is Monsieur. I am interested.
Changing his voice or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, kind of like Batman does.
Yeah, it's suddenly become very...
This is the Monsieur.
Mysterious and burglar-like. We cut back to the street, and we see Bandette zooming through the streets. And she's like, ah, these jerks, how dare they shoot me? I'll write a nasty letter to the president. But first, panic button. And she opens up, or she kind of pushes her glove up and pushes a button on her watch.
And for some reason, I hear the old Batman 60s TV series music in my head.
Exactly. And as she touches that watch, all throughout Paris, these little buzzers are going off. So we see that Daniel is going to change his gender there for a second.
No, well,
Daniel is, he gets
that
a little...
That would definitely make it 15 plus.
Totally.
Just kidding.
He gets a little buzzer on his motorcycle there, and he realizes that Bandette is calling him. And throughout Paris, all the people that are Bandette's little helpers are getting getting alerted. So there's these street ruffians, I guess, skateboarders and...
Yeah. The young hipsters, maybe?
I don't think the French have hipsters.
Oh, okay. They're just kids. Okay.
They're just, yeah.
No, by definition, they're hipsters. They're French. Come on.
That's a good point. He has a good point.
All right. Lay's hipsters. So, they've all been alerted. And we meet the next member of our cast. We meet Inspector Belgique. And he is standing in the middle of the street, and he's got his hands on his hips and a cigarette in his mouth, and he's looking angry and frustrated, as he often is.
You know, I smoked for a very short period of time, and I have no idea how he's sitting there just with a cigarette in his mouth and never actually touches it. He's talking. Oh, there's one panel where he's got in his hand, but the rest of the time, just sitting in his mouth. Like,
wow. That's one thing I never did. I just watched my parents do it, and I just never appealed to me.
Okay.
There you go.
Totally. I'm sorry. It's derailed the whole thing. Back on script. Go ahead.
Alrighty. So we see Inspector Belgique and his assistant, I guess. Perhaps she's a police officer, too.
Yeah.
I guess she's a police officer. She comes running up and she asks what the situation is. And he says, bank robbery gone poorly. 5 hostages, I'm afraid. And we have all the people jibber-jabbering in the background. Do we have a phone line? They refuse to answer. Do the snipers have a shot? No, the angles are bad. What about gas? Charging in through the front. Too much risk to the hostages. What do we do? What do we do? Says Belgique. And his assistant or police officer says, maybe you should make the call. And he starts grumbling because, of course, he has no desire to make the call. Just once I'd like to be able to do it on my own, he says. Make an arrest all by myself. The thought of calling for help makes my underwear ride up the crack of my ass.
I'd miss
that
part.
There's a 15 plus line.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
I had to actually stop for that. I remember that now. Okay.
And she says, I don't like it all that much myself. The call, I mean. I'm trying not to think about your underwear. But the truth is...
So am I right now.
We're all in this fight together, Belgique. Whether or not you make that call, none of us can do this alone. We get a big close-up of his face. You're right. This is no time to play lone wolf. There are lives at stake. Ah, damn this day and damn this underwear. And he starts beepity-beeping on his phone, and we see... the little image of Bandette on his view screen there, so we know who he's calling.
That sounds like a good Facebook, early morning Monday morning Facebook post. Damn this day and damn this underwear. I think that's...
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
What's coming on yours tomorrow morning?
That's I just might, just for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm. So we see Bandette is still being chased. They're still shooting at her. She makes this quick turn down a narrow French alley, and while she's making this quick turn, Daniel does his little drive through with his rad tie outfit and drops boxes of pad tie all over the street so that the chasing.
That's worse than oil, I bet.
I bet it is, because these two motorcycles skid out into a pile of messy pad tie. And they get up and they're like, hurry, she's getting away. And that's when the next group of bandits, helpers, appear. The little ballerinas come out, and they point to the people on the motorcycles, and they say, "There, that's the man who tried to take my purse. Oh, it's him, without a doubt." So the police officers arrest them immediately, and Bandette is in the clear, smiling away that she's gotten away with it again. So she's off in the alley, and she takes off her Bandette outfit. She removes her red wig and her cape and pulls off her tunic and turns it into a skirt.
You know, it just hit me. She, without, not in the outfit, she looks exactly like Colleen Coover.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Colleen, it's Colleen, isn't it? Colleen.
Colleen, yes. Yeah. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, at the end of it, they got pictures of them.
Oh, there we go.
She wears the artist wears the real person wears glasses. That's the only difference.
Gotcha.
That's hilarious.
So she does her little quick change. She says presto, and she just comes wandering out. She walks past the ballerinas, and she gives a quick smile to Daniel as she passes them, and then her phone starts buzzing. And she says, "Hello," and Belgique says, "It's me, Inspector Belgique. I need your help." Boom, boom, boom. To be continued.
Very nice. Yeah, see the very next page?
Oh, yeah. They do have a very similar hairstyle. Huh. Lovely.
Of course, I don't have that picture in my little...
Yeah.
It was a what? But that's okay.
Well, it's in the, you know... It's in the Comixology version.
Okay. I don't have that, man.
You got the paper version.
I got the hard in-my-hand version.
No,
yes.
I just have to get that. Maybe the kids will like it. You never know.
That is, I was a latecomer to Bandette. As
I was too.
Ugh.
I know.
Loved it.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I don't know. It was just a little bit too lighthearted for me at first, but it's kind of grown on me. It's a nice palate cleanser from everything else we read.
Yeah, I loved it. It was good.
It's light, it's funny, it's cute. And you're right, Chris. It is a palate cleanser when compared to, you know, a lot of the darkness that's coming from, especially DC of all, you know, compared to Marvel. Marvel's actually just pure superhero smack 'em up goodness. But
yeah, they are. Seem to be a lot more fun than they were.
Oh yeah, Fantastic Four was just a ball.
Oh, okay, fine.
I still haven't read that.
Pull out the one. I'm talking the tone of like a Guardians of the Galaxy or all new X-Men or even Uncanny X-Men. They've been somewhat lighter and just pure superheroes. But you're right, Fantastic Four has been a bit. I haven't read number three yet, but number one and two were not lighthearted.
No, I read some of it, but yeah.
That's James Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'd like to give it a go.
I want to get him on the show. Oh. I'm going to have to ask him.
Who?
James Robinson.
Okay, ask for him, please.
All right, you going to say no? He seems very, I don't know, very sharing of things lately. So, that was a lot shorter than I intended. So, we're only about like 20 minutes. So, what do you want to do now?
I'm okay with that, actually.
Oh, you okay? I'm going to do a short one today?
I got nothing else. I am, to be honest with you guys, I am really wiped out. I had softball practice.
Yeah.
And I ran. And then I ran. I'm going to do a mud run in 2 weeks here. So
okay.
I need...
Yeah, that's okay. We can
unless Murray, unless you got something else you need to get off your chest. Already got off the line, it sounds like.
Yeah. No, he's there. He's just, you think he's talking to somebody. Probably somebody walked in. Yeah, I need to gather together the little bit of stuff I did talk about Planet Comic Con. I've been a little busy this week, too, and a little sick, so I'm all right with that. Nope. Murray?
Coolio. How was it? Sounds like you had a good time.
Hello. Oh, I had a great time. Hello. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I got a big haul as pictures on Facebook showed, and I made little recordings. I didn't do, and I never did get the guts to actually interview anybody because it was kind of busy a lot. The people that I wanted to talk to, they had big lines, so, but, you know, the interactions with people was great. It's not one of those, oh, I really want to meet somebody and they turn out to be an asshole. Well, I take that back. Neil Adams, that was that one. I didn't actually meet him. I got out of line when I saw how he was treating people. So, yeah, it was sad. Charging for autographs and all that good stuff. So, not good. But anyway, yeah, that's about it. We'll wrap this up because I'm like cold medicine stupor almost. So,
yeah. You should remember you got Walking Dead on tonight. You got Good Wife.
Oh, so. I don't watch those. I watch Walking Dead, but I have it on Amazon Prime since we don't have that on cable, so I won't get it till tomorrow.
All right, whatever.
Gotcha.
So that's about it here. Nice little snippet episode. We'll come back in full force next week. Have something for you. And
presto,
that's about it this week. As usual, you can send an email to podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com, or you can comment on the actual episodes, or you can join us on Facebook and just do a search for Tales from the Long Box podcast, and we're there, and join us with our conversation and our nerd rage and, you know, comic book glee.
And I, next time I mention about some of the conversation on New Mutants, we'll cover that a little bit.
Oh, so. Was there one? I missed it. Well, crap, I need to look that. Alright. Alright, that's it for this week. And we're out.
Alrighty.